morning I was trying to preach in a spot and I wanted to go over to another part in Acts, and you know, it's one of those things when you start to, you know exactly where it is. You can picture it on the page, and I was going over there to reference a point, and I could not find it for anything this morning. I knew it was there, but, you know, so I had to just, you know, tell them, okay, it's around this spot. Well, you know, I had a deacon, he came to me afterwards, he said, well, what you were looking for in 5 is actually in 4. Well, I had to stop, and I said, I could have sworn it was in 5. So I went there. Sure enough, it was in 5. I was just looking in the wrong spot. So it made me feel a little bit better. I got to show the deacon that it actually was in 5. But there's a spot in 5 right here. And it says that Peter, in verse 29 of Acts, he says, Acts 5, he says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And this statement here, it seems so easy to say that we would say it throughout our lives. I mean, we're gonna obey God rather than man. We're gonna follow what God puts on us rather than what man tells us to do. It's only easy until the rubber meets the road, and then you have to put it in practice. Yeah. And you know what? In my whole life, I've never had to put it in practice like we've had to in 2020. We live in a country that we're blessed beyond measure to be able to meet out in this house, to worship freely without persecution. We don't know what being persecuted to serve the Lord is like. We, thank the good Lord, have never been in that situation. But it came about in a way that this year has come to a situation where man said, you can't do something. You can't meet out in the house of God. Thing is this verse 29 teaches us that we ought to obey God rather than man. What did these people have? Peter, go back a few verses back, and they were preaching the gospel. And the high priest doesn't like it. Why? Because he's, you know, whenever I picture these things, I picture it that of today's day and age, that you're preaching salvation by grace and grace alone. What does that do? And I always tell myself, well, it costs them too much money. If there's nothing that someone has to do, and you don't have to work for something, well, then it's going to cost them too much money. It always, you know, I'm a jaded type of person. I believe things come down, most of the time with men, it comes down to money. They're going to look at it and they're going to be like, well, how do I make the most money? How do I get the most out of it? That's how it is. Our minds are simple. We're corrupt by nature, and so when you stop and remember what we are, it's easy to figure out what's going on. Well, these priests, they're not happy with what Peter and them are preaching to them. They're preaching the truth. How many times have you told someone about the truth, and they see it, and they say, you believe what? You believe, say that again, you believe that everybody that's already going to heaven has already been chosen, they're going to heaven? You believe God chose a people? Well, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. The thing is you can take him to the Bible and you can show them that the Lord says it. And the same thing is they'll read it and say, well, yeah, but that's not, I don't think that's right. I don't believe that. It doesn't matter what we believe. It doesn't matter what we think. It does not change what the Lord has done for us. It doesn't change that it is the truth. So as Peter's right here, as they come down, they get arrested. And they're in prison, and in verse 19, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go and stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. So at any point in time in 2020 or any year passes that someone was to come and have an argument with us that God would not want us to violate man's law and what he has said, we can go right here and say the angel of the Lord opened up the prison doors and had them come out and didn't say, go flee, go hide, make sure you don't get caught. He said, you go right back to what got you in prison and you do the same thing.
Amen.
That's what he told them to do.
Amen.
That's what he tells us to do. When we go out there, we're fighting against the world in which we live, and man is telling us that this is what we ought to do. You can't meet out. And I say this, and it's on my mind so much because our country is coming back into a spot to where they're start talking about going back into full lockdowns. Full lockdowns, and we need to do this, and we're, you know, the virus is hitting, and I want to make sure I make one thing clear. I don't take anything away from the virus being real. That's not what I'm saying. But there's something that is greater than the virus that we're required to do, and that's to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And so what we need to do is make sure we put it in perspective.
That's right.
The Lord has told us, he showed us the example that Peter and them were put into prison. He said, now you, he opened the door. Another night, I heard a good sermon, a wonderful sermon by Brother Lawrence, and he was talking about what God has opened, no man can close. And when God is closed, no man can open. The thing is we get an example that man closed it, but God opened it. Because no matter what we think and how great we are in our minds and how powerful we think we are, that if it's supposed to be the way God wants it to be, it will be. He'll open it. He wanted those men out there to preach the gospel. He opened the door. He let them out. He said, you go preach this truth. You go preach this right here. Can you imagine they just got put in prison for doing what he just told them they need to go back and to do? This is the type of resolve that we have to have. This is the type of backbone and of strong belief in the Lord of doing what is right that we have to have. You know, when the first time around shutdown started to come, churches started to close. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why the internet preaching probably is kind of different. But, you know, people all around, it's not to offend anybody, but the thing is it's the truth. Satan doesn't come where we think he's going to come. He doesn't come through the front door where everybody in my whole mindset, growing up, I always thought the government would come in and say, you can't preach this, you can't worship because you believe this. That's how I always pictured it coming down. The thing is Satan came through a back door and said, you can't meet out because there's a virus and we're doing it for your own protection. And we're going to make sure we're doing it to help you. We're doing it so it's better for you. And people said, okay, all right, then we shouldn't meet out. The thing is, that's not what the Lord had put out for us. He said, forsake not this land of ourselves. We know that there's no greater place to be than right here worshiping his name. The singing that we heard tonight, you just can't get that when you're listening on Zoom or on Facebook Live. You can't feel that same power that is in singing. And I'll tell you, when you know singing is good, is really good, is when I enjoy it, because I just don't hear if people sound good or bad. Music all sounds the same to me. But I can feel when it's being blessed by the Holy Spirit. So you can't get that over a camera. You can't get that on a video screen. That's why we're meet out together in his house. It is his house. And when you want to go to see someone, you go to their house and you go visit them at their house. That's where we're to be, at his house. So Peter and them, they go out. And when they get there, they don't start to preach quiet, and they don't start to try to, hey, you guys come over here, we're going to try to meet under the radar, we're going to try, no, they go right there, in the midst of everyone, they start to preach the truth. That's how we ought to be. No matter what's coming at us, no matter how bad it is, no matter what state level, government, federal, county, whatever it is, that says that you can't meet out, we need not be afraid, we need to meet out in this house. And when he said, this is where I'm supposed to be, and this is where I'm going to be. You know, my wife is very, very firm with me about putting a mask on when I go into Walmart. She's very firm about it, because there's a sign that says, if you want to go to Walmart, you wear a mask. I mean, you can ask her afterwards. I can't handle 5 minutes, and I'm like, going, okay, I got to go to the car. I can't do it. The thing is if I want to go into Walmart, they say wear a mask, and I should respect that and wear a mask. That's what you should do. Now follow the rules. That's what it says, and we should be respectful of the laws of the land up until the point that they violate God's laws. Up until the point that they violate and they step over their boundaries of saying what we shouldn't do that God has commanded us to do. You know, there's things that are in the law tells us is okay that God says is not okay. But just because the law of the land says it's okay doesn't make it okay now. God's law trumps it all. So when Peter is out here and they're preaching this, they come back and they say, go get him. They come and they go get him and they say, well, whoa, there's nobody here. We don't know what's happened. No one's here. They're out there. So they bring him back. The thing is you see a great lesson here. The high priest, they don't bring him back with violence. Because all of a sudden they've stirred the minds of the people around them. We have a responsibility of being the salt of the earth to make sure that we do what we're supposed to do. Maybe the rest of the country's not. Maybe the rest of the world's not. But we have been blessed, not because we're special, not because we have anything, we have any greater understanding, but we have an understanding from the Lord that this is what we're supposed to do. We have an understanding that it, how our salvation come about. That it was all of Him and none of us. There's very few people in the world of a Christian belief that understand it is all of Him and none of us. There's a bunch that will say, I believe in salvation by grace. But they'll say, I believe in salvation by grace as long as you do this. Or accept if you do that. Or but, or if, or when. Those are the things that they believe. Let me tell you, salvation by grace is grace alone, and it's period. There's nothing after. That's how simple it is. You know, I appreciate simplicity. I can understand it. I was on the way home, we were reading about what's on the ballots, that we should, the amendments on the ballot to vote on Tuesday. I'll tell you, that's confusing. And if anybody thinks that they can read the ballot and understand what that thing said that we were trying to vote on, if it's good, bad, and they say, I can understand that, but I can't understand the Bible, I'll tell you. I don't know how. And that was only this big. It was just a small paragraph. The thing is, the Lord's blessed us. And when you have understanding of it, then you have a requirement to do what the Lord has laid out for us to do. Right. He has blessed us to see and to know the truth. And everything that is in us, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it is, no matter if prison is at the end of it, no matter if you've been in prison before, and he tells you to go out and do the same thing, then you go out and you do the same thing. You respect God. You follow his laws above all of man's every time. If man's law contradicts God's law, then you make sure you're following God's. And the reason that I was there because in Acts 10, Peter was directed to go to Cornelius, and we got there to him. He looked at him and he said, it's unlawful for me to be here. The thing was, is Peter knew where he was going was unlawful for him to be. But God is the one that told him to go there, and he didn't question it. He didn't try to reason with God. He didn't try, when he was trying to tell God, look, I can't eat this. It's common. It's unclean. He said, what I've cleansed, let no man call common or unclean. He knew. He said, I've got this. So Peter said, I got to go. I got to go that way. I got to preach to this man. We have to have that type of fortitude in our belief to trust in the Lord that when we're doing what the Lord has commanded us to do, that it will all work out.
Amen.
You know what? It doesn't mean you won't end up in prison because he's told us. They ended up in prison. They ended up in prison preaching the gospel. Doesn't mean you won't end up and have people question you, because right after Acts 10 comes Acts 11, and Peter's being questioned by the people and he's having to defend himself. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because typically, if you do what's right, it's not easy. It's the harder way. But it's the right way, and there's no better way to be than to have the Lord on your side. May the Lord bless you.